Greetings, dear people, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we send welcome words to you from Foundations. We thank God for what He is doing there at the Mount Moriah Church in Tijuana, Mexico, and we've especially been praying that God will richly bless this anniversary date for your life. I call your attention to God's word in Revelation chapter 19 in verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And may God richly bless His word to our hearts today. This passage of Scripture that we've read, and particularly we are going to be drawing from the latter part of verse 19 that comes on the eve of the open coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to the earth. We know, according to prophecy, that this will be the battle of Armageddon. And we see in verse 11 of chapter 19 of when heaven opens, and behold a white horse. And the description that is given of the Lord and His armies coming to fight that battle. And after that battle, we read in Revelation 20 of the uniqueness of the 1,000 years of the millennial reign of Christ. But our heart is drawn to this especially important statement that is made in verse 10, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We must be careful in reading the Bible concerning these two particular terms. One is prophecy, and the other is prophesy, at least in our English. Prophesy is the verb. Prophecy is the product of the prophesying. And prophecy as the product is presented in two ways in both the Old and New Testament. There is the prophecy of bringing foretelling of that which will take place in the future. It is history that is told to us ahead of time. But also the Bible reveals there is prophecy, or the embodiment of everything that has been foretold and that which was foretold by God's men. And the telling forth and the foretelling now are brought together under divine inspiration within the Word of God, the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the consummation of the book of Revelation. What does this statement mean to us, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy? There's been a lot of words, both written and declared, concerning prophecy or the foretelling of history ahead of time. In fact, the Bible includes several thousands of prophecies that when they were written, they were future. Nearly half of the prophecies within Scripture have been fulfilled. We have in the Old Testament some 300 prophecies that are dealing with the first coming of Christ, and a little over 1,800 prophecies that are dealing with the full understanding of the second coming of Christ. But in that declaration, we must be careful to understand what is the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, in the anticipation of the coming of Messiah, and the New Testament declaring he has come. So whether we are talking about the foretelling of the future or telling forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and collectively in the Word of God, the Spirit of testimony, of prophecy, is Jesus Christ. How often people have viewed the Word of God simply as a prophetic book, and some men have given their lives to it. In the understanding of prophecy. But God's people must carefully view that the Bible has been given to us to reveal the coming of Christ. He has come, but he is yet to come. The uniqueness of the first coming, with some 300 prophecies that will be fulfilled from where he was born and how he would come into the world, all the way to his ascension back to heaven. But in the understanding of that, we have got over 1,800 that are dealing with the second coming. I dare not pit or place in a contrast or in that of an enemy form between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. But the first coming of Christ was to get us ready for his second coming. How do we view history according to the Scriptures? The vast majority of the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, are dealing with history. And then when prophecy rises, it is simply declaring history ahead of time. One of the sure markings of the divine inspiration of the Bible is that of prophecy. For God to have given the multitude of prophecies concerning the future, it placed this book in jeopardy. For if one of those prophecies does not come to pass when it is supposed to come to pass, then it causes a declining of this word to be absolute and infallible. So God somewhat went out on a limb to give all of the prophecies that he did. And we must understand that every prophecy that was given at a certain time was still in the future when it was told. But again, nearly half of the prophecies that were given have already been fulfilled. But what is history? There are various concepts of of the philosophy of history. But we have got to understand there is only one understanding of history according to the Scriptures. And that is declaring the plan of God. God has a plan. And this is the purpose of history, is to unfold that plan and bring about the fulfillment of that plan. This is why providence is such a darling doctrine. Providence is that which makes certain the prophetic declaration of prophecy, to make it become history. It has been estimated, once again, that half of all the prophecies of the Bible have already been fulfilled in a literal way. Prophecy and its study are the most important for many reasons. But one main reason is to provide a guide for the meaning of history. Though philosophers will continue to debate on the philosophy of history, the Bible indicates that this book was given to us to reveal the centrality of the plan of God, and that centrality is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything of the Old Testament is pointing to Him. And to a certain perspective, that there is much that is pointing back to when He came, to be revealed of why He came in that first coming. But the Bible gives us much understanding and insight of the future coming, the final coming, the resolved coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a plan for history. You and I are part of that plan, but a very minuscule, very small part of that plan. But everything that happens from nations to individuals to events that transpire, it all is for the unfolding of this singular plan. And this plan is tied up in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when we contemplate that it is by Him, according to Hebrews 1:2, that the worlds have been made, or that Greek word, ioi, that all of the ages, the seasons of history have been carefully made by God for Christ, for Christ. Yes, prophecy is tied into Christ. Christ is the centrality of history. He came to this earth to die, but that's not the consummation of history. He is coming again. And amidst all the prophecies that swirl around the uniqueness of His second coming, both in a secret manner of the rapture and the open coming of setting up His kingdom, the plan of God for this planet from the beginning to its consummation is tied up in this Son. Prophecy is simply the history of the Son being told to us. And prophecy will not consummate on this planet until it comes to the end. A king, a Jewish king, that will come and set up his kingdom. And all of the kingdoms that have preceded him, all of them will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will rule for 1,000 years and will consummate history. History. The prophetic word neglected in our lives leaves us ignorant of God's plan. Why do you live day by day? What has been your schedule 2 days ago? What was your schedule yesterday? Your comings and goings, from the job to the home, with the wife, with the children, shopping for groceries, coming to the house of the Lord. It is all to be tied up in the plan of God. Part of that plan is our individual life. Very small, and yet providence is working in meticulous details of my life, so that it will pour into the greater scheme of the plan of Christ. I trust that we will understand this statement. But life does not revolve around me or you. It is not the self-esteem. It's not the promotion of self. We are all a part, a minuscule part of this great plan that belongs to the Son of God. That God made the universe for. He made this planet for as a love gift. And we find that man fell. But the Bible tells us that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was all in God's plan. But the plan was not simply the Old Testament. The plan was not simply David. And may I say with great propriety, the plan was not simply that Jesus would come the first time and live that sinless life and die on that cross for the remission of our sins. But God is wanting for this plan to come to the greater consummation, the purpose of it all. And that's when Christ will become all in all and the restitution of all things. But in a minuscule, that's to be our life. We are part of the prophecy of the plan. You'll recall in Jeremiah chapter 1 that Jehovah told young Jeremiah, about 17 years old at the time this was uttered to him, that God knew him even before he was formed in the womb of his mother. This tells us that we are in the thoughts of God going all the way back to the beginning of time. He knew you. He knew me. He knew all the providences that would pave the way 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years before we would come into existence, before he created that unique soul for me. The unique seed of out of 2.5 million that flowed in that great act of love. And that one egg that will unite with it. And at that moment, simultaneously, God created a soul. And that soul had a self. And God already had the life plan. In fact, the Bible is so careful in its declaration that even the steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man, are ordered of the Lord. We carefully read in the gospel writings that every day Christ was on the road, Christ was living, and it was all leading to a consummated end of the cross, yes, of the burial, yes, but of a resurrection, of an ascension into heaven to be placed at the right hand of God the Father. And that one day the Father will give him the word to come back and take his own, the rapture. And we read in the book of Revelation, in the uniqueness of chapter 5 of this book, in the hand of the Father and Christ, that great Lamb rising out of that unique throne of the Father and prevailing meritoriously, worthily to take that book out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. And what is that book? Well, we find it's an apocalyptic book. It's an unveiling book. To us, it's a prophetic book. And it's all opened and broken, those seals, leading through a tribulation period, day by day, week by week, month by month, but it is leading to the finality of the plan of the Father for the Son. And that finality is when he will come back to this earth with all of his saints. And he will deal the death blow to the final resolve of the powers of the Gentile in global rulership. And then he will ride into Jerusalem and set up his throne on Mount Zion. Oh, dear people, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're hoping for. Not a human hope. I hope that this will happen. But a biblical hope. A biblical hope is that which will surely come to pass. It becomes the great expectation of the human heart, the human redeemed heart, that God one day will send his Son to take us home to heaven, yes. But one day will come and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. And one day he will set up his kingdom and he will rule from pole to pole. And he will consummate history. He will consummate the history of the animal kingdom. He will consummate the history of the plant kingdom. He will consummate the history of government. He will consummate the history of true religion. He will consummate it. And he will rule for 1,000 years. And this will end the portion, the prophecy of history. What is this history? Well, this history may have been a little different in the longevity of time before the flood. But we have been living in a present world, the world that was renewed at the flood. And Peter will tell us this world is reserved. It's providentially reserved. It's miraculously reserved for the coming of Christ. It's not the collapse of climate. It's not the collapse of the wickedness and the debauchery and the sins of man, even in the destruction of the planet. But it is that which will be reserved for God's judgment. And at the end of those 1,000 years, history, the history of the animals, the history of the plants, the history of the topography of this world, the history of Israel, everything identified with this world will be resolved. And then, when history is resolved, the Bible will reveal to us only with 2 chapters of a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, when we read of that new earth, it is an earth without a sun. It will have no need of the light of the sun. For God the Father and His Son, the Lamb, will move their throne to this earth, and they will be the light. And we call this new earth the eternal, the unending golden age. Oh, dear people, if it was not for this Bible, in the days in which we live, in the abounding of iniquity, in the rise of the powers of Antichrist, in the dereliction of the powers of leadership throughout the world, if we did not have the prophecy of future history, oh, we would be in a sad plight. We know the Bible is very clear that the earth is not going to get better under the rulership of man. It's going to get worse. We even have people believing that a revival is going to come to America. No. We are in the end of the destruction of our age. We are in the final nails being nailed in the death throe of our coffin. We have no hope in man. We have no hope of recovery through man. The only hope we have for the future of our lives, for the future of our children, for the future of this planet is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He is the Spirit. He is the animated life. He is the power and the principle of prophecy. He is the power and the principle and the life-giving principle of this book, the embodiment of the prophecy. And Peter tells us that we have a more sure word of prophecy that we do well to take heed unto. as a light that shineth in a dark place. This book is the hope all the way down through the ages of history. Why? Because God's word of prophecy is supporting history. Providence is not just working for me and you. And we talk about, oh, thank God for that providence. And we thank God for the providence. And we live in providence 24 hours a day, even while we sleep. The functioning of our body, the safekeeping in our homes, this is providence. But what is providence? Providence is the power that enables history. It enables the history of my life and your life. It enables the history of the whole world. The history of the world. It's in the holy throes and the powers of providence. And it's all working to and in. We cannot afford to take our history, our personal history, and look at it fragmented. We've got to see that the Lord, from the beginning to the end, has us in mind and in His heart, not only for our history, but to the glory of Christ and His history. We find in the end time, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the prophecy that in the last days scoffers will come. And what will be the scoffing? What are they scoffing at? What are they mocking? What are they trying to intimidate? Now, there's a lot of things the Bible declares that man has mocked. He's mocked God. He's mocked God's people. Man has mocked the great work of Christ at the cross. The cross, the cross work, the crucifixion. But in the end time, it is going to be the increase of the scoffing concerning the second coming. Where is His coming? But since the fathers fell asleep, there's nothing that's changed. People have come and people have died, and the second coming has been talked about for 2,000 years. And the end time is going to use this longevity of time in the what we call the delay of His coming, and they will speak of it mocking, mocking. He's not coming. Your people have been talking about this for 2,000 years, and He's not come. But Peter goes on to reveal to us that whatever we think as a delay or a slack in God's promise, it is for a reason. There are no delays with God. We have that word in our vocabulary, and we may use it and say, well, He's delaying His coming, but there are no delays in God's history. He's gone on a long journey, Christ, in His ascension, and He's coming back at the appointed day. But God is not willing that any should perish. That's one of the reasons for the delay. He wills that all men come to repentance. That's a reason for his delay. It's his long suffering. That's why he has delayed. Yes, this is going to be more of a prominent mockery of God that Jesus has not come back. And dear people, we could secretly, humanly, convince ourselves, since he has not come, he is not coming. There are three parables that are given to us in the Olivet Discourse over this one principle, supposing he doesn't come back today. It's that servant at the end of Matthew 24 that in his heart he believes the Lord is delayed, is delaying his coming, and so he's going to live a loose and reckless life. And then in Matthew 25 we have 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom and he didn't come. And so they slumbered and slept, and there came the hour of midnight and the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." What are we going to do in this matter of what we think is a delay? I've heard of the second coming of the Lord in a rapture. I've heard it since I've been a child. My father preached and preached and preached this. And we could get loose and careless and casual in our Christian living, thinking since he has not come to this hour, and probably he will not come in my lifetime. But the Bible speaks of this imminency, this threatening, this nearness. He could come at any moment. And we must live in the spirit of Maranatha. We must live in the Spirit. Our Lord cometh. We must live in the Spirit of the testimony of the prophecy, which is Jesus. Oh, this is not the time to backslide. This is not the time to grow apathetic. This is not the time to become indifferent. This is not the time to become casual with temptation. This is not the hour to grow cold in our watching and praying. If Christ is the spirit of the testimony of prophecy, foretelling of the future, the culmination of foretelling forth and foretelling in this book, we will always be in the posture of watching and praying. We will think of it throughout the day. We will speak off one to another. The Lord is coming, and I want to be ready. There are a lot of dark things in our society today. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of violence. There is a lot of anger and hatred. But there is also a lot of love waxing cold. There is also a lot of falling away. And dear people, we do not want to be a part of that. We want to be those awake. We want to be those that are trimming our lamps We want to be those who have the additional oil, deepening our walk with God, our relationship with Christ. And one day, we're going to hear that trumpet sound. One day, we're going to hear that shout from heaven. One day, it's going to fall on a day that we are going to be summoned up to meet the Lord in the air. We cannot get away from this, that the testimony of Jesus. Is this testimony in you? Are you living the testimony that you profess? The testimony of Jesus becomes the breath. It becomes the spirit within prophecy. Yes, my life, your life is part of prophecy. And one day when God calls us home by death, or we will be in that singular generation, that singular generation that will know the call to the air. Until then, we want this testimony of Jesus in our hearts to be the spirit of the prophecy we're looking for and longing for and hoping for. We may say that there has been a lot of confusion about prophecy. We may say there has been a lot of distortion, a misinterpretation of prophecy. Therefore, we need to stay away from prophecy. But what we may have said about prophecy, we would have to say about everything else in the Bible. The Bible has been misinterpreted. The doctrines of the Word of God have been misinterpreted, but we dare not cast them aside. We need to have the discernment of prophecy in this hour, dear people. We must let the prophecy within the prophecy to feed our souls, to let the spirit of the prophecy become the unique power to press us on to the end. And John will tell us that every man that hath this hope, we call it the blessed hope. What is this hope? He's coming. Our Lord cometh. Every man that hath this hope in him, every man that has this hope abiding, he's conscious of it. He's thinking of it. He's praying it. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself. This is a purifying truth that if it abides in our heart, it will be that which will keep us pure. When we're tempted, it will be this blessed hope. Don't yield to it. The Lord could come the moment you yield. It'll keep us from sin. It will keep us from yielding to temptation. It will keep us in a ready, steadfast state. Oh, I trust in this anniversary, as your dear beloved pastor is drawing from 2 Thessalonians and those of the Holy Spirit within the saints, keeping back the Antichrist from coming, at least to this hour, being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. There will come a day when God will take us home to heaven. And then, the prophecies we read in the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 6, will begin unfolding. Some events keep at bay other events. But once those events are resolved in God's will, in God's timing, then the others are going to come in their sequence to us. Oh, this is the day, this is the hour for your ministry to lay hold of this book, the Bible, the prophecy of God that reveals the prophecy of the plan of God. And we want to be in that plan daily. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that He has brought us from death to life and that His Word becomes the breath to our living. May we understand our life is based on Him. It's built on Him. It's found in Him. Our life is to fulfill His plan for my life. Oh God, may we know this spirit of prophecy daily because of the testimony of Jesus within us. Oh, may we be a people made ready and prepared for the Lord. We pray these things today in His worthy name and to the glory of the consummation of the plan of the Father for Him and for this entire planet when He will set up His kingdom and consummate the history of humanity with the man, Christ Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen. God bless you.